Well, today, Sarah, we're lucky enough to come out and track down some moose here in the winter up in the Northeast Kingdom. We're near Maidstone Lake, and we're with Jake DeBow, and Jake is working on a huge project. It's a cooperative project with the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department, the University of Vermont, and the Vermont Cooperative Fish and Wildlife Unit. Jake, you have a big project here. You've got moose all over this region. How many are you radio tracking on this giant project?
We've got about 80 moose radio collared right now. We've collared just over 90 total, lost a few last year, but we're trying to figure out kind of what's going on with the moose, looking at their productivity rates, their mortality rates, and kind of what we can look forward to and some trends in the upcoming years. We are out here from January 1st all the way until the end of August, basically every day.
Wow.
And Jake was telling us, we're going to go look for these moose, but we're not going to find them. So what we are going to find, interestingly enough, is moose urine, right?
And why are we doing that?
I don't know. Hey, Jake, why don't you tell us why we're going
to
find some
Jake,
moose
what
urine?
Are we up to?
Yeah,
hi,
great. We are going to go into the woods and find one of our collared moose, and we're going to try and collect urine from it so that we can track their nutritional plan throughout the winter.
Although we are going to track these moose, and it's exciting and it's fun, and we really do hope to see one, it's kind of because there is a sad story underlying all of this effort. Tell us about that.
This recent decline in moose in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, and really moose across the southern extent of their range due to climate change and a suite of things are struggling. The presence of winter ticks and the abundance of winter ticks in Vermont is really the reason that we believe they're declining. So we're trying to see when the ticks are having the largest impact, what that's doing metabolically, and, you know, is there anything we can learn from this in order to better manage them?
That's the main reason for getting a urine sample today.
You know, it's a non-invasive manner to try and track their protein levels throughout the winter. Moose have a naturally low protein diet during the winter. They're mainly eating bark, buds, and stems. So we can see that in their urine. We can see that low protein. When they begin to metabolize their fat, there'll be a little bit of a spike. And then when they begin to metabolize themselves, when they've used up all their fat, we'll see a large spike in that protein level. We know that's bad. They shouldn't be at that point where they're metabolizing their own muscle.
And that's from too many ticks on them.
The ticks are basically sucking out the reserve that the moose have to get through the winter.
And so this is really part of what's decimating the population in the Northeast. Moose get these ticks. How many of these ticks? What does it do to them? And how is it that it's killing them exactly?
Moose don't naturally groom. They evolved in a place where there weren't a lot of parasites, and so they didn't naturally groom, like deer and bears and a lot of the other wildlife we have that just are constantly grooming themselves. So moose can get a ton of these ticks on them, and then the tick goes through a couple of its life stages, and by the time that the moose can feel it, because moose are stimulus groomers, so they groom when it itches, by the time it starts to itch, you know, those ticks are in the last life stage of their life, and they're taking large blood meals, and that's when we're seeing this massive blood loss. So these moose can have anywhere from 10 to 100,000 ticks. We did 4 tick counts last year, and it averaged about just over 20,000 ticks per animal, with the highest tick count coming in at 27,000.
So that's a lot of things sucking blood on it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the connection between climate change and these winter ticks, though? That's what I'm kind of missing here.
So the idea is that these shorter winters are allowing ticks to proliferate on the landscape. So we have our winters are coming later, and they're leaving sooner. So the tick, during its questing period, it quests late September into October, and then as long as it can persist on the landscape.
Wait, what is questing?
Sounds like a game show.
Yeah.
They call them tick bombs. So hundreds of these little tiny pepper flake-sized ticks will climb up to the top of vegetation at moose height, and they interlock their legs together.
Oh, no.
And they reach out off of the branches and just sway back and forth, waiting for something to come. And when something brushes up on it, they all latch on, and that chain pulls all of those ticks off the vegetation onto the animal. So you can get 10, 20, up to, you know, the hundreds of these ticks on you in just one sweep.
Wow, that sounds like sci-fi.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So the ticks are questing during the fall and into the winter, and basically snow and cold kills this larval stage, the nymph. So if we have early snow, it kills a lot of the ticks. If we don't, they just continue to quest.
And it's, more will latch on to
And it's, moose. It's a numbers game. It's a lot of this is just numbers. It's the longer they can quest, the more the moose will get on them. So then you pair that with on the other side of the winter, if a female tick lands onto snow, her chance of survival and laying eggs is pretty slim. But if she lands onto the leaf litter, her chance of survival and laying eggs is very high.
So you've got a directional antenna in your hand and a little electronic device, which is going to dial in on the signal coming from this cow, right?
Yep, it's telemetry equipment, and we'll, using the directional antenna, we'll try and figure out where she is and get as close as we can to her.
That sounds close.
It's not far away.
Fantastic.
I think that she's up on top of this ridge, and so we're going to try to loop around a bit so that we don't just come up and pop out right at her.
Okay.
So we can come and kind of get an angle and get the wind on her side.
We just traipsed through a lot of underbrush, and so we haven't seen the moose, but what we have found are moose tracks from the baby moose.
Look at that, huh?
Okay, here's the urine.
Yeah.
We'll put it in a bag, and we bring it home, we freeze it. From that, we can tell how much they're metabolizing themselves at that point in time. I will let you hold it and smell it.
Okay.
Doesn't smell like snow, though, right?
No.
It smells a little bit like
balsam
fir.
Holy cow.
Yeah, because that's what
no
they eat.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so... I'm
smell.
Not
here,
kidding.
Here, put some, get it nice.
Seriously, we can bottle that. Wow, so I was ready for it to smell bad, and it smells really nice.
Yeah. Now, that's probably enough, but because we only need 4 milliliters.
We've just collected some moose pee. You've got your data for the day. We've had a fantastic time. We've learned a lot. I feel like climate change is oftentimes an abstraction for people, for me, because we don't see the effects of it, the immediate effects of it in our daily life. But coming out here with you, I feel like that really brings home to us the impacts of climate change. This has been not only enjoyable to be out here in the woods, but it's been really informational, and it's fascinating.
I'm just really appreciative, Jake, that you and everybody at Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department are out here trying to collect the data so we can do something about it.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys. It was fun having you.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Let's go get some more news
tonight. Yep. Got a bit of a walk back to the road.